It's good to see all of you.
Same, Delano,
Kieran answered, as Hawk placed his hand on my lower back.
It's been too long.
Not long enough,
boomed a deep voice from inside the keep. I turned to see a wide open area lit by oil lamps. A tall, bearded, dark-haired, and broad-shouldered man strode out from two large wooden doors. He wore dark breeches and a heavy tunic. A short sword was strapped to his waist, even though he wasn't dressed as a guard. Kieran smiled, and I blinked. This was the first time that I'd seen him smile, and he'd gone from coldly handsome to strikingly attractive as he did it.
Elijah, you missed me more than anyone else.
Elijah met Kieran halfway, capturing the younger man in a bear hug that lifted the guard clear off his feet. Eyes that were hazel, more gold than brown, landed on where Hawk and I stood. One side of the man's lips kicked up as he let go of Kieran, or rather, dropped him. Kieran stumbled back, catching himself as he shook his head.
What do we have here?
Elijah asked.
We're in need of shelter for the night,
Hawk answered. For some reason, this Elijah found Hawk's response funny. He threw back his head and laughed.
We have plenty of shelter.
Good to hear.
Hawk's hand stayed, while I glanced around the entryway, confused. Several people had come from behind the doors, men and women. Like the townsfolk, there were varying degrees of looks. Most smiled, but a few stared in a way that reminded me of the blonde dissenter who'd thrown the craven hand. Where was the lord or lady who oversaw the city? The sun was still up, but the space was windowless, and therefore would not be an affront to the gods if they moved about. I didn't see any ascended among the gathered people. Perhaps this man was one of the lord's stewards, and the lord was otherwise occupied? I noted that Kieran was looking around with a narrowed gaze, probably thinking the same thing as I was.
We do have a lot of catching up to do,
Elijah said, clapping Kieran on the shoulder with a heavy hand that caused my brows to rise. A black-haired woman in a deep forest green knee-length tunic and matching breeches strode forward, a heavy cream shawl draped over her shoulders. Immediately, my gaze was pulled to her footwear. They were boots. She drew closer, and I noted that her eye color was very similar to Elijah's, if not exact. Were they related? She seemed at least a decade younger, closer to Hawks and my age. Maybe a niece? She gave all of us a close-lipped smile. Her gaze, like Delano's, falling and catching on my visible scars. There was no pity on her face, just curiosity, which was far better than the former.
I must speak with a few people, but Magda will show you to your room.
Hawk turned to the dark-haired woman before I could respond.
Make sure she has a room to bathe in, and she's sent hot food.
Yes. She started to dip, almost as if she were sinking into some sort of curtsy, but then stopped halfway. Her cheeks flushed prettily as she glanced at me.
Sorry, I'm a little off balance some days.
She patted her slightly rounded stomach.
I blame baby number two.
Congratulations, I said, hoping that was the appropriate response as I turned to him.
Hawk? Later,
he said, and then pivoted, stalking off to join where Kieran stood with Elijah, now joined by Phillips, who was eyeing every inch of the keep.
Come. Magda lightly touched my arm. We have a room on the second floor that has its own bathing chamber. I'll have hot water sent up, and you can bathe while cook prepares your dinner.
Unsure of what else to do, I followed Magda from the entryway and through the side door that fed into a stairwell. Surprised that Hawk had left me alone, I figured it was because he knew I was more than equipped to defend myself. But it still seemed odd, unless he felt confident about there being no dissenters here. But even if that was the case, it didn't explain how Hawk had known this woman's name when he'd only been to the town briefly, and we hadn't been introduced. The room was surprisingly large and airy, despite the only source of natural light being a small narrow window overlooking the yard. I liked the exposed wooden beams on the ceiling, and the bed looked like the most inviting thing I'd ever seen. I didn't dare go near it, not when my cloak and clothing were stained with craven blood, dirt, and sweat. I draped my cloak over a heavy wooden chair, and then made sure my sweater covered my dagger. A fire was lit, and the food, a rich and savory beef stew, had come before the hot water. I ate every drop of the stew and the accompanying biscuits, and would have probably licked the bowl clean if it hadn't been for the small army of servants commanded by Magda. As the tub was filled with steaming hot water, Magda hung a light blue robe on a hook in the bathroom chamber. I stared at it, my throat suddenly clogged with emotion. It wasn't white. I closed my eyes. "Poppy," the woman said, and I snapped my eyes open. She'd asked earlier what to call me, and that was the name I'd given her. "Are you all right?" "Yes," I blinked. "It's taken a lot to get here." "I can imagine," she replied, though I doubted she could. "If you leave your clothing here by the door, I'll make sure it's cleaned this night." "Thank you." She smiled. "Fresh soap and towels have been placed by your bath. Is there anything else you need?" I wanted to ask where Hawk was, but I didn't think she'd know. I shook my head, and she started for the door. Then I thought of the Ascended. "Magda," I called out, "who is the lord and lady in residence here?"
"Lord Halveston has gone hunting with some of the men," she answered. "He would have been here to greet you, but he was already preparing to leave with it being so close to dusk."
"Oh, the lord went hunting with men? The people here were odd.
Is there anything else?"
This time I shook my head and didn't stop her. I quickly undressed, leaving my clothing by the door, and then hurried across the chilled floor that the fire hadn't yet warmed, dagger in hand. The large tub had to be the second best thing I'd ever seen. My sore muscles immediately welcomed the hot water, and I stayed longer than necessary, scrubbing myself with the lilac-scented soap and washing my hair twice before I worried that I'd wrinkle like a prune if I stayed 1 minute longer. Toweling off, I slipped on the warm robe and padded on bare feet to the small vanity, pleased to find a comb. I roamed out to the bedroom, idly combing out the knots and tangles in my hair, and placed the dagger on the end table. When that was done, there was nothing to do but wait. I sat on the edge of the bed, wondering what Tawny was doing right now. Was she making friends with other ladies and lords in wait? Sadness tugged at my chest, and I welcomed it. That was far better than feeling only anger and pain. But I missed her. I missed Victor. The knot of emotion was back in my throat as I smoothed my hand over the soft blue material. My eyes burned, but the tears, they wouldn't come. I almost wished they would. I sighed, glancing back at the head of the bed. There were two pillows, as if the bed were meant for two people to. A knock on the door startled me. I jumped from the bed and was in the process of moving to the end table when the door opened. Snatching up the dagger, I whipped around. "Hawk," I breathed. He lifted his brows.
"I thought you'd be asleep."
"Is that why you barged in? Since I knocked, I don't consider that barging in." He closed the door behind him and stepped into the light. He'd bathed and changed, his damp hair curling against his cheeks.
"But I'm glad to see that you were prepared just in case it wasn't someone you wanted to see."
"What if you're someone I don't want to see?" That half grin appeared.
"You and I both know that's not the case."
His gaze roamed over me.
"At all.
Your ego never fails to amaze me." I placed the dagger back and then looked around, since the only other place to sit was the very uncomfortable-looking chair. The bed was the only option.
I sat on the edge.
I never fail to amaze you,
he replied. I smiled. Thank you for proving what I just said. He chuckled as he strode forward.
Did you eat?
I nodded. You?
While I bathed.
Multitasking at its finest.
I am skilled.
He stayed where he'd stopped, several feet from me.
Why aren't you asleep? You have to be exhausted.
I know the morning will come sooner rather than later, and we'll be back out there. But I can't sleep, not yet. I was waiting for you. Suddenly nervous, I toyed with the sash on the robe. This place is different, isn't it?
I imagine if one was used to only the capital in Macedonia, it would be,
he answered.
Things are far simpler here, no pomp and circumstance.
I noticed that. I haven't seen a single royal crest. His head tilted.
Did you wait up for me to talk about royal banners?
No. I sighed, letting go of the sash. I waited up to talk to you about what I did to Eric.
Hawk said nothing.
My nervousness gave way to irritation. Is this later enough for you? A good time? There was that curl of his lips.
This is a good time, Princess. It's private enough, which is what I figured we would need.
I opened my mouth and then snapped it shut. Damn it. Was that why he'd kept pushing it off? If so, that made sense.
Are you going to explain why neither you nor Victor ever mentioned that you had this touch?
My jaw came unlocked. I don't call it that. Only a few who have heard the rumors about it do. It's why some think I'm the child of a god. You, who seems to hear and know everything, haven't heard that rumor?
I do know a lot, but no. I have never heard that,
he replied.
And I've never seen anyone do whatever it was that you did.
My gaze searched his, and I thought I saw the truth in his stare. It's a gift from the gods. It's why I'm chosen, or at least one of the reasons. I have been instructed by the queen herself to never speak of it or to use it until I am deemed worthy. For the most part, I have obeyed that.
For the most part?
Yes, for the most part. Victor knew about it, but Tawny doesn't. Neither did Rylan or Hannes. The Duchess knows, and the Duke knew, but that was all, I told him. And I don't use it often-ish.
What is this gift?
I blew out a long breath. I can sense other people's pain, both physical and mental. Well, it started off that way. It appears that the closer I get to my ascension, the more it evolves. I guess I should say I can sense people's emotions now, I corrected, tugging at the blanket beside me. I don't need to touch them. I can just look at them and it's like I open myself up to them. I can usually control it and keep my senses to myself. But sometimes it's difficult.
Like in crowds.
Knowing he was thinking about when the Duke had addressed the city, I nodded. Yes. Or when someone projects their pain without realizing it. Those times are rare. I don't see anything more than you or anyone else would see, but I feel what they do.
You just feel what they feel.
I looked up at him. He was staring at me with slightly wide eyes.
So you felt the pain that Eric, who had received a very painful injury, felt.
I nodded. Hawk blinked.
That had to be
agony, I supplied. It was. But it's not the worst I've felt. Physical pain is always warm, and it's acute. But the mental, emotional pain is like bathing in ice on the coldest day. That kind of pain is far worse. Hawk walked over and sat on the bed beside me.
And you can feel other emotions, like happiness or hatred? Relief? or guilt?
I can, but it's new, and I'm not often sure what I'm feeling. I have to rely on what I know, and, well, I shrugged. But to answer your question, yes. For the first time since I met Hawk, he looked speechless. That's not all I can do, I added.
Obviously.
I ignored the dryness in his tone. I can also ease other people's pain by touch. Usually it's not something the person notices, not unless they're experiencing a great deal of obvious pain.
How?
I think of happy moments and feed that through the bond my gift establishes, through the connection, I explained. Hawk stared at me some more.
You think of happy thoughts, and that's it?
Well, I wouldn't say it like that, but yes. Something flickered over his face, and then his gaze shot to mine.
Have you sensed my emotions before?
I wanted to lie. I didn't. I have. He sat back. I didn't do it on purpose at first. Well, okay, I did, but only because you always looked like, I don't know, a caged animal whenever I saw you around the castle, and I was curious to find out why. I realize I shouldn't have. I didn't do it a lot. I made myself stop. Sort of, I added, and his brows climbed up on his forehead. For the most part, sometimes I just can't help it. It's like I'm denying nature not to use what I had been born with. That was why it was hard to control sometimes. Sure, curiosity often drove me to use it, but it felt like going against nature to deny it and keep it locked down. It was stifling, just like the veil and all the rules and expectations and the future I never chose for myself. Why did my entire life seem so wrong?
What did you feel from me?
Pulling myself from my thoughts, I looked over at him. Sadness. Shock rolled across his expression. Deep grief and sorrow. I lowered my gaze to his chest. It's always there, even when you're teasing or smiling. I don't know how you deal with it. I figure a lot of it has to do with your brother and friend. When Hawk said nothing, I thought I'd said too much. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used my gift on you, and I probably should have just lied.
Have you eased my pain before?
I flattened my hands on my legs. I have.
Twice, right? After you were with the priestess and the Knight of the Rite.
I nodded.
Well, now I understand why I felt lighter. The first time it lasted. Damn, it lasted for a while. Got the best sleep in years.
He coughed out a short laugh, and I peeked over at him.
Too bad that can't be bottled and sold.
I wasn't sure what to say.
Why? He demanded. Why did you take my pain? Yes, I do feel sadness. I miss my brother with every breath I take. His absence haunts me. But it's manageable.
I know. You don't let it interfere with your life, but I didn't like knowing that you were hurting, I admitted. And I could help, at least temporarily. I just wanted,
what?
I wanted to help. I wanted to use my gift to help people.
And you have? More than just me and Eric?
I have. Those who are cursed, I often ease their pain. And Victor would get terrible headaches. I would sometimes help him with those. And Tawny, but she never knew.
That's how the rumors got started. You're doing it to help the cursed.
And their families sometimes. They often feel such sorrow that I have to.
But you're not allowed.
No. And it seems so stupid that I can't. I threw up my hands. I'm not supposed to. The reason doesn't even make sense. Wouldn't the gods have already found me worthy to have given me this gift? I reasoned.
One would think so.
He paused.
Can your brother do this? Anyone else in your family?
No, it's only me. And the last maiden. We were both born in a shroud, I told him. And my mother realized what I could do around the age of 3 or 4. He frowned and went back to staring at me like I was a puzzle missing pieces. What? Shaking his head, his expression smoothed out. Are you reading me now? No. I seriously try not to, even when I really want to. Doing so feels like cheating when it's someone I trailed off. I was going to say, when it's someone I care about. My stomach twisted as my wide-eyed gaze swung back to him. I cared about Hawk, a lot. Not in the same way I cared about Tawny or Victor, though. It was different. Oh, gods. That probably wasn't a good thing, but it didn't feel bad. It felt like anticipation and hope, excitement, and 100 other things that weren't bad. Now I wish I had your gift because I would love to know what you're feeling at this moment. I couldn't be grateful that he didn't know. I feel nothing from the Ascended, I blurted out. Absolutely nothing, even though I know they feel physical pain. That's weird, right?
I was going to say disturbing, but sure, it's weird.
You know, I leaned in, lowering my voice. It's always bothered me that I couldn't feel anything. It should be a relief, but it never was. It just made me feel cold.
I can see that.
He inched forward, lowering his voice, too.
I should thank you.
For what?
For easing my pain.
You don't have to.
I know, but I want to,
he said, his mouth so incredibly close to mine.
Thank you.
It's nothing. My eyes drifted halfway shut. He smelled like pine and soap, and his breath was so warm on my lips.
I was right.
About what?
About you being brave and strong, he explained. You risk a lot when you use your gift.
I don't think I've risked enough, I admitted. I couldn't help Victor. I was too overwhelmed. Maybe if I wasn't fighting it so much, I would have at least taken his pain.
But you took Eric's. You helped him.
He dipped his head, and his brow kissed mine.
You are utterly nothing like I expected.
You keep saying that. What did you expect?
I honestly don't know anymore.
My eyes closed, discovering that I liked his closeness. I liked being touched when it was my choice.
Poppy.
I also liked the way he said my name. Yes? He touched my cheek with his fingers.
I hope you realize that no matter what anyone has ever told you, you are more worthy than anyone I've ever met.
My heart squeezed in the best way. You haven't met enough people then.
I have met too many.
He lifted his chin, kissing my forehead. He leaned back, sliding his thumb along my jaw.
You deserve so much more than what awaits you.
I should. My eyes opened. I really should. I wasn't a bad person. Under the veil and behind my title and gift, I was like anyone else. But I was never treated as such. As Hawk had pointed out before, every privilege everyone else had was something I couldn't even earn. And I was so damn tired of it. Hawk drew back, his voice heavy as he said,
Thank you for trusting me with this.
Unable to answer, I was too caught up in what was happening within me because something was shifting, changing, something enormous and yet also small. My heart started pumping as if I'd just been fighting for my life, and, dear gods, that's what I was doing, right now, fighting not for my life, but to be able to live it. That was what was clicking into place inside me. Maiden or not, good or bad, chosen or forsaken, I deserved to live and to exist without being cloistered by rules I never agreed to. I looked at Hawk, really looked at him, and what I saw went beyond the physical.
He'd always been different with me. And he never tried to stop me. From the night on the rise to the blood forest when he'd thrown me the sword, he didn't only protect me. He believed in me and respected my need to defend myself. And like he'd said before, it was as if we'd known each other for ages. He understood me, and I thought I might understand him, because he was brave and strong, and he felt and thought deeply. He'd suffered losses and survived and continued to do so, even with the agony I knew he carried with him. He accepted me, and I trusted him with my life. With everything.
You shouldn't look at me like that.
His voice had thickened. Like what?
You know exactly how you're looking at me.
He closed his eyes.
Actually, you might not. And that's why I should leave.
How am I looking at you, Hawk? His eyes opened.
Like I don't deserve to be looked at, not by you.
Not true? I told him.
I wish that was the case. Gods, I do. I need to leave.
He rose and backed up, his stare lingering. I didn't think he wanted to leave at all. He took a deep breath.
Good night, Poppy.
I watched him start for the door, his name on the tip of my tongue. I didn't want him to leave. I didn't want to spend tonight alone. I didn't want him to believe that he wasn't deserving. What I wanted was to live. What I wanted was him. Hawk? He stopped, but didn't turn. My heart was racing once more. Will you stay with me tonight? Chapter 33. Hawk didn't respond, and I wasn't sure if he'd even taken a breath, reminding me of the night of the right with us under the willow. That memory didn't bring with it the sharp stab of pain. Then he spoke.
I want nothing more than that. But I don't think you realize what will happen if I stay.
I felt a little dizzy. What would happen? He turned then, his stare piercing.
There is no way I could be in that bed with you and not be all over you in 10 seconds flat. We wouldn't even make it to the bed before that happened. I know my limitations. I know that I'm not a good enough man to remember my duty and yours, or that I'm so incredibly unworthy of you, it should be a sin. Even knowing that, there's no way I wouldn't strip that robe from you and do exactly what I told you I'd do when we were in the forest.
Heat swept through me as I stared at him. I know. He sucked in a sharp breath.
Do you?
I nodded. Hawk took a step away from the door.
I'm not just going to hold you. I won't stop at kissing you. My fingers won't be the only thing inside you. My need for you is far too great, Poppy. If I stay, you will not walk out of this door, the maiden.
I shivered at the bluntness of his words. They weren't a shock, but his need was. I didn't see myself as someone who could be the object of something so fierce. I'd never been allowed to. I know, I repeated. He took one more step toward me.
Do you truly, Poppy?
I did. And it was strange to know myself and be so certain when I'd spent so long not knowing myself. Never really being allowed to discover who I was, what I might like or dislike, what I'd want or need. But I knew now. I had known the moment I asked him to stay. I knew what the consequences could be. I knew what I was and what was expected of me. And I knew I could no longer be that. It wasn't what I wanted in life. It had never been my choice. But this I wanted. Hawk was who I wanted. This was my choice. I was reclaiming my life. And it had started long before him, when I demanded to be taught how to fight, and when I made Victor include me when he went out to help the cursed. Those were significant steps, but there had been smaller ones along the way. In a way, they were even more important. I'd been changing, evolving, just like the gift I was forbidden to wield but remained determined to use. It was in every adventure and risk I took. It was in my desire to experience what I'd been told was not for me. It was why I'd initially stayed in the room at the Red Pearl with Hawk. It was the way I'd met the Duke's stare and smiled at him when I'd been unveiled. It was when I'd spoken to Lauren for the first time, and when I went out to the Rise. My evolution kept me quiet as the Duke delivered his lessons. And when I sliced Lord Mazeen's arm and hand and head from his body, I'd been cutting through the chains I never chose to wear. I hadn't realized it then. There were so many little steps over the years, and especially in recent weeks. I didn't know when it had finally happened, but I knew one thing for certain. Hawk wasn't the catalyst. He was the reward. I lifted my surprisingly steady hands to the sash. I didn't look away as I undid the knot. The robe parted and then slipped over my shoulders. I let it pool at my feet. Hawk didn't look away for one second. He didn't even blink as he stared at me, his eyes locked to mine. Slowly, his gaze traveled the length of my body. I knew there was enough light for him to see everything, all the dips and swells, the shadowy hidden areas, and all the scars, the jagged tears on my arms and across my stomach, and the ones on my legs that looked like wounds from sharp nails, but were proof that I had been chosen by the gods. Because those marks on my legs weren't from claws, but from fangs that had ripped into my skin. I'd been bitten that night. But I was not cursed. Hawk wouldn't see the truth in those scars. Two of those who knew were now gone, and only the queen and king, the Duchess and my brother, knew now. For the first time in my life, I wanted to tell someone the truth behind them. I wanted to tell Hawk, but now was not the time for that. Not when his gaze was slowly tracking back to mine. Not when he was looking at me as if he were soaking in every inch of me. I couldn't help but shiver when his eyes finally met mine. "You're so damn beautiful," he whispered, his voice thick, "and so damn unexpected." Then he moved in that way that always made it hard to believe he wasn't an ascended. In a heartbeat, I was in his arms, and his mouth was on mine. There was nothing slow and sweet about the way he kissed me. It was like being devoured, and I wanted that. I kissed him back, holding on to him tightly. And just when I felt the touch of his tongue against mine, he pulled away. Things became a blur then. His tunic came off with my help, and then his boots and his breeches. I trembled at the first sight of him. He was beautiful, all sun-kissed skin and long, lean muscles. His chest and stomach were defined by years of training, and there was no mistaking the power and strength of his body. There was also no mistaking how his life had left its imprint behind in the form of faint nicks and longer scars on his flesh. He was a fighter like I was, and now I truly saw what I'd been too nervous to notice before. His body was also a record of everything he'd survived. And the deeper, redder scar just below his hip, on his upper thigh, was proof that he likely had his own nightmares. It looked like a brand of some sort, as if something hot and painful had been pressed into his skin. "The scar on your thigh," I asked. "When did you get it?"
"Many years ago, when I was dumb enough to get caught," he answered.
It was so weird how he sometimes talked as if he'd lived dozens of years longer than I was sure he had. I knew that for some, a year could feel like a lifetime. My gaze strayed and my eyes widened.
Oh, my. I bit down on my lip, knowing I probably shouldn't stare. It seemed indecent to do so, but I wanted to.
You keep looking at me like that, and this will be over before it starts.
Cheeks heating, I dragged my gaze away. You're perfect. His expression tightened.
No, I'm not. You deserve someone who is, but I'm too much of a bastard to allow that.
I shook my head, unsure how he couldn't see that he was deserving. I disagree with everything you just said.
Shocker,
he said. And then he curled his arm around me. In a heartbeat, I was on the bed, and he was above me, the rough hair of his legs abrasive against mine in the most surprising, pleasant way. But the feel of him against my hip caused a nervous swallow, and also brought a reminder of a very real consequence that could come from this. Are you
protected?
His thoughts obviously following the same path as mine.
I take the monthly aid.
He was talking about the herb that rendered both males and females temporarily infertile. It could be drunk or chewed, and I heard that it tasted like sour milk.
I assume you're not,
he added. I snorted.
Wouldn't that be a scandal?
He said, skimming his hand along my arm. It would, I grinned. But this? Those eyes met mine.
This changes everything.
It did. It really did. And I was ready for that. Hawk kissed me, and I wasn't thinking of anything beyond how his lips had an almost drugging effect. We kissed until my heart was pounding and my skin hummed with the pleasure of it. Then, only when I felt breathless, did he begin to explore. His fingers trailed over every inch of exposed skin, and when his hand moved between my thighs, I cried out, quickly discovering that what he'd done with his fingers in the forest over my breeches was absolutely nothing compared to his skin against mine. He worked his way down, using his mouth and then his tongue to follow the path his hands had blazed. He stayed in particularly sensitive areas, wringing sounds from me that made me briefly wonder just how thick the walls were. And then he lingered over the scars on my stomach, kissing them, worshipping them, until I was sure that he didn't find them disturbing or ugly in any way. But then he moved lower still, past my navel. My heart stopped as I felt his breath against where I ached so fiercely. I opened my eyes to find him settled between my legs, his golden gaze locking onto mine. Hawk, I whispered. One side of his lips curled up in a wicked, smoky half-grin.
Remember that first page of Miss Willa's diary?
Yes, I would never forget that first page. Then, his gaze remaining on mine, he lowered his mouth. My back bowed at the first touch of his lips, and my fingers dug into the sheets at the glide of his tongue. I thought my heart might stop. That maybe it already had. The riot of sensations he conjured up seemed unfathomable until that moment. It was almost too much, and I couldn't hold still. I lifted my hips, and his rumbling growl of approval was nearly as good as what he was doing. Gods! My head fell back against the mattress, and I was aware that I was writhing, squirming, and there was no sense of rhythm behind my movements. But that sharp tightening deep inside me was coiling and twisting, and then it all unraveled, stunning me with its intensity. I might have said his name. I might have actually screamed something incoherent. I didn't know, and it took what felt like a small eternity before I could even open my eyes. Hawk lifted his head, lips swollen and glossy in the candlelight. The intensity in his stare scorched my skin as his gaze caught and held mine. He never looked prouder of himself, as his mouth parted and the tip of his tongue glided over his lips.
Honeydew, he growled, just like I said.
My breath caught, and I shuddered. He didn't so much move as he prowled up the length of my boneless form. I watched him, unable to look away as the hardness of his body caressed mine, unable to stop the shiver when the rough hairs of his legs tickled sensitive skin.
"Poppy,"
he breathed, his lips touching mine. He kissed me, and my skin heated at his flavor, the taste of me and those strangely sharp teeth of his. My senses whirled at the feeling of him settling between my legs, prodding, pressing in just a bit. "Open your eyes." Had they closed? Yes, they had. I opened them to see that one side of his lips was curved up, but the teasing tilt normally present was gone. He said nothing as he stared down at me, his hips and body still. "What?"
"I want your eyes open," he said.
"Why?" He chuckled, and I sucked in a gasp at how the sound felt with him so very close to where I throbbed.
"Always so many questions."
"I think you would be disappointed if I didn't have any."
"True,"
he murmured, dragging his hand down the length of my neck, and then lower. His hand curled around my breast. "So, why?" I persisted.
"Because I want you to touch me," he said. "I want you to see what you do to me when you touch me."
A shiver danced over my skin. How do you want me to touch you?"
"Any way you want, princess. You can't do it wrong,"
he whispered hoarsely. Uncurling my fingers from the sheet, I lifted a hand, touching his cheek. His gaze remained latched to mine as I drew my fingers along the curve of his jaw, over his soft lips, and then down his throat. I was still feeling too much for my gift to be remotely functional as I glided the tips of my fingers over his chest. His breaths pushed it against my hand, and I kept exploring, soaking in the feel of the taut, coiled muscles of his lower stomach, and the dusting of hair below his navel, and then lower. My fingers brushed silky hardness, and his entire body jerked. I hesitated.
"Please don't stop,"
he rasped, jaw clenched as his fingers stilled on my breast.
"Dear gods, do not stop."
I focused on his face as I touched him. There were so many tiny reactions throughout his entire body. His jaw popped, and his lips parted slightly. The lines of his face became sharper, and the tendons in his neck stretched as I curled my hand around him. He kicked his head back, and his large, powerful body trembled. I noted how rapidly his breathing had become as I slid my hand down to where our bodies were almost joined. He gave a full body shudder then, and I was awed by how much my touch affected him. I tightened my grip, becoming more confident.
"Gods,"
he growled. "Is this okay?"
"Anything you do is more than okay."
His voice had deepened even more.
"But especially that. Totally that."
I laughed softly, and then I did it again, drawing my hand up and down his length. His hips moved then, much like mine had, rolling against my palm, against me. He made a sound, a deep, dark rumble, that sent a flush of pleasure through me.
"You see what your touch does to me?"
he asked, his hips following my hand. "Yes," I whispered.
"It kills me."
His head dropped, and those eyes, they seemed almost luminous as he stared down at me, and then his thick lashes lowered, shielding them from view.
"It kills me in a way I don't think you'll ever understand."
My gaze searched his face. In a good way? Hawk's features softened as he lifted his hand to cup my cheek.
"In a way I've never felt before."
"Oh." He dipped his head,
kissing me as he shifted onto his left arm. His hand left my cheek and slid down the length of my body until it was between us.
Are you ready?
Breath catching, I nodded.
I want to hear you say it.
The corners of my lips tugged up. Yes.
Good. Because I might have actually died if you weren't.
I giggled, surprised by the light sound in such a tense, important moment.
You think I'm kidding? Little do you know,
he teased, kissing me again before he pushed in just a little bit. He stopped, making that sound again.
Oh, yeah. You're so ready.
My entire body flushed and trembled. Hawk's gaze lifted to mine once more.
You amaze me.
How? I whispered, confused. I'd done almost nothing, while he shattered me with the kind of kisses I'd only ever read about.
You stand before Craven with no fear.
He dragged his lips over mine.
But you blush and shiver when I speak of how slick and wonderful you feel against me.
I was definitely flushing even more now. You're so inappropriate.
I'm about to get really inappropriate,
he promised.
But first, it may hurt.
I knew enough about sex to know that. I know.
Reading dirty books again?
A flutter started in my stomach and spread. Possibly. He chuckled, but it ended in a groan as he began to move. There was pressure, and a moment when I wasn't sure how he could go any further, and then a sudden sharp sting stole my breath as I squeezed my eyes shut. Fingers digging into his shoulders, I tensed. I knew there'd be some pain, but all the languid warmth turned to chips of ice. Hawk stilled above me, breathing heavily.
I'm sorry.
His lips touched my nose, the lids of my eyes, my cheeks.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. He kissed me again, softly, and then rested his forehead against mine. A shallow breath lifted my chest. That was it. I'd crossed the final forbidden line. There was no shock of guilt or burst of panic. Truthfully, I'd crossed that line when Hawk had kissed me before knowing who I was, and everything that led to this very moment had slowly erased that barrier until it no longer existed. There'd been no going back since the night at the Red Pearl, and this felt too right for it not to be, in some way, destined. I felt like I was supposed to be right here in this very moment with Hawk, where it mattered who I was and not what I was. It didn't matter if the gods found me unworthy, because I was worthy of this, of laughter and excitement, of happiness and anticipation, of safety and acceptance, of pleasure and experience. Of everything Hawk made me feel. And he was worthy of whatever consequences came from this, because this wasn't just about him. I knew that from the moment I asked him to stay. It was about me, what I wanted, my choice. I took a deep breath, and the burning lessened. Hawk remained still above me, waiting. Tentatively, I lifted my hips against his. It stung, but not as severely as before. I tried it again. Hawk shuddered, but he didn't move. Not until my grip on his shoulders loosened, and my breath caught for an entirely different reason. There was a burning friction, but it wasn't the same. Muscles low in my stomach tightened as a ripple of pleasure skittered through me. Only then did Hawk move, and he did so carefully. So gently that I felt tears prick my eyes. I closed them as I curled my arms around his neck, letting myself get lost in the madness once more, in the building crescendo of sensations. Some kind of primal instinct took hold, guiding my hips to follow his. We were moving together, the only sound in the room that of my softer sighs and his deeper moans. That exquisite, almost painful coiling sensation returned. My legs lifted of their own accord, curling around his hips. The pressure was building inside me once more, but it was more potent this time. Hawk worked his arm under my head and curled his hand around my shoulder as the grip of his other hand tightened on my hip. He began to move faster, deeper, his thrusts stronger as he held me in place under him. I held on to him, my mouth blindly finding his as his hand slipped between us. His thumb found that sensitive area, and when his hips churned against mine in tight circles, the tension exploded once more. I cried out as the sensation whipped through me, more intense and biting than before. The release he'd given me earlier somehow felt like nothing compared to this. I was shattering into pieces in the best possible way, and it was only when the last wave seemed to have crested that I became aware of those intense golden eyes fixed to my face as he slipped his hand out from under me. I knew at once he'd been watching the entire time, and a breathy moan left me. I placed a trembling hand on his cheek. "Hawk," I whispered, wishing I could put to words what I'd just felt, what I was still feeling. His features turned stark and his jaw tensed, and then he seemed to lose whatever control he had left. His body pounded against mine, moving us across the bed. Under my hands, his muscles flexed and rolled, and then his head kicked back and he cried out, shuddering. He dropped his head to mine, to the sensitive space along the side of my throat. I felt his lips against my thrumming pulse as the roll of his hips slowed. There was a scrape of his teeth that sent a shiver through me, and then the press of his lips. I didn't know how long we stayed like that, our damp skin cooling and our breathing slowing, as I threaded my fingers through his hair. His muscles had relaxed and his weight was on his elbows, but I slowly became aware of the tension in his body. It was the gift, slowly poking through my heady emotions. Hawk's lips grazed my cheek and then found mine. He kissed me softly, sweetly. "Don't forget this." I touched his jaw. "I don't think I ever could." "Promise me," he said, seeming not to hear me as he lifted his head, his gaze snagged with mine. "Promise me you won't forget this, Poppy, that no matter what happens tomorrow, the next day, next week, you won't forget this. Forget that this was real." I couldn't look away. "I promise. I won't forget."
Chapter 34. Some hours later, a noise stirred me from sleep. I was on my side, and a long, warm body was wrapped around mine. One leg was thrust between my thighs, and I was tangled in arms. Although I was still half asleep, every part of me immediately became aware of the unfamiliar sensations of being in someone's hold. The feeling of skin against skin, the rough, short hairs against my flesh, the biceps under my head, and the warm breath glancing off my cheek. All of it was wonderful and new. Even with the cobwebs of sleep still clouding my thoughts, I knew this feeling wouldn't be something easy to walk away from. The last thing I remembered was lying facing Hawk, him toying with my hair while he told me how he'd gotten some of his smaller scars. Most of them had been earned through fighting, though a few were from when he was a reckless, adventurous child. I'd meant to share with him the truth about some of mine, but I must have drifted off. Hawk shifted behind me, lifting his head as the sound came again. It was a soft knock on the door. Carefully, he slipped his leg out from between mine. He stilled for a second, and then I felt his fingertips on my arm. They coasted down and then over the flare of my hip to where the blanket lay. He tugged it up over my chest as he eased himself free, making sure the pillow had replaced his arm under my head. A sleepy, pleased smile tugged at my lips. The bed dipped as he rose, and I heard him stop by the foot of the bed. I blinked open my eyes. One of the oil lamps still burned, casting a soft, buttery glow around the room. It was still pitch black beyond the small window, though I saw Hawk straighten as he pulled on his breeches, leaving them unbuttoned. My stomach dipped at the sight. He went to the door, like that, shirtless and half undressed. Wouldn't that make it obvious to whoever was out there what had transpired in here? I waited for the panic to set in, the concern and fear of being discovered in a very compromising, forbidden position. It didn't come. Maybe it was because I was still only half awake. Perhaps the pleasant languidness in my muscles had somehow infiltrated my brain and melted my common sense. Maybe I just didn't care about being caught. Hawk cracked open the door, and whoever was outside spoke too low for me to hear. I didn't pick up Hawk's response, but I saw that he accepted something he'd been handed. He was only at the door for a couple of moments before he closed it again, placing whatever he carried on the chair. Seeing that I was awake, he came to my side. Wordlessly, he reached down, catching a strand of hair and brushing it back from my face. "Hi," I whispered, closing my eyes as I pressed my cheek to his palm. "Is it time to get up?"
"No."
"Is everything okay?"
"Everything is fine. I just need to go handle something," he answered.
I opened my eyes. He stared down at me as he dragged his thumb across my cheek, just under the scar.
"You don't need to get up yet."
"Are you sure?" I yawned. A faint grin appeared.
"I am, Princess. Sleep."
He tucked the blanket around me once more and then rose.
"I'll be back as soon as I can."
I wanted to say something, somehow acknowledge what had transpired between us and what it meant to me, but I wasn't sure how to say it, and my eyes were getting heavy. I fell back to sleep, but I didn't stay there long. I woke for a second time, the lamp still burning and the bed empty beside me. Stretching my limbs, I pressed my lips together at the strange, dull ache between my legs. I didn't need the reminder of last night, but there it was. I glanced around the room, my gaze snagging on the chair. My clothing was folded there. Had it been Magda who'd come to the door? Or someone else? Either way, whoever it was, the state of undress in which Hawk had answered the door revealed everything. I bit down on my lip as I lay there, staring at the small window. Like before, there was no panic or dread. People talked. One way or another, what had happened here would travel beyond the cobblestone streets. It would eventually make its way to the capital, and then to the queen. Even if by some small chance it didn't, the gods had to know that I was no longer an actual maiden. Whether or not that meant I was still the maiden in their eyes, I had no idea. But I was no longer the maiden in mine. I couldn't go back to that life. A brief burst of fear pierced my chest. But that was okay, because a surge of determination quickly doused it like water does flames. I wouldn't go back to that life of no rights, of hiding my gift and being unable to help people, of allowing others to do whatever they wanted with me and to me because I had no choice or was constantly put in a position where I had to accept whatever was done out of fear for someone else. Because even though I knew the queen would never treat me poorly, I would still be expected to hide my gift, to be quiet and unseen, amicable and appeasing, Every single one of those things went against the very core of my nature. I couldn't descend. And that meant there were two options ahead for me. I either attempted to disappear and hid. Living behind the veil for so long would be a benefit here, since so few people knew what I looked like. However, there were enough that could give a description. I was sure that every city and town would be notified to keep an eye out for me. But I knew how to remain unseen. But where would I go? How would I survive? And what would happen to Hawk if I disappeared when he was supposed to be escorting me? I didn't assume that my now very unknown, uncertain future included Hawk. However, my chest still fluttered. What we'd shared last night had to mean something more than simply seeking physical gratification. He could find that anywhere, but he had chosen me, and I chose him. That had to mean something that went beyond last night, something that I never thought I'd get the chance to experience. Whether or not Hawk was part of my life or not, the only other option was to go to the Queen and be honest. Now that scared me, because I didn't want to disappoint her. But she had to understand. She had with my mother, and I was the Queen's favorite. She had to understand that I couldn't be this. And if she didn't, I needed to make her. Sitting up, I kept the blanket wrapped around me. I knew what I couldn't do, but I didn't know what that meant in the long term for the kingdom or for me. The sky outside the window started to lighten. I would talk to Hawk about it, and I wouldn't wait. He needed to know. And I wanted to know what he thought, what he'd say. Knowing that dawn was fast approaching, I rose and got ready, using the remaining water to quickly wash up. The water was cold, but since I had no idea when we'd have access to clean water again, I wasn't complaining. Relieved to be wearing clean clothes, I strapped the dagger to my thigh. I was just finishing braiding my hair when the knock came. Figuring Hawk would have just come in, I approached with caution. Yes?
It's Phillips,
came the familiar voice. I opened the door and he rushed in, forcing me back as he closed the door behind him. He turned, his cloak parting to reveal his hand on the hilt of his sword. Warning bells went off as I took a step back. Are you alone? He demanded, his gaze going to the bathing room. Yes, my heart kicked up. Has something happened? He turned back to me, his eyes wide. Where is Hawk? I don't know. What's going on?
Something about this place isn't right.
My brows lifted.
Things haven't been right about this whole damn thing. Should have listened to my instincts. They've kept me alive this whole time, but I didn't listen this time,
he rattled on, as he went to where a small saddlebag was placed.
I did some looking around here. Didn't see one single ascended. And Lord Halverston? See no evidence of the royal.
I was told he's hunting with his men, I assured him. I asked Magda where he was yesterday. My bag in hand, he faced me, his dark brows arched.
What ascended do you know that would go hunting?
I don't know any that would, but we don't know every ascended.
You know who we don't know? This Kieran fellow.
He stopped in front of me.
We know nothing about him.
Confused by where he was going with all of this, I shook my head.
I don't know any of you.
Except for Hawk. Him I knew.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. I've never seen Kieran. Not until the morning he showed up at the Rise. Couldn't get anything from him other than that he worked in the capital. Everything else was short, vague answers.
I recalled now how I'd seen them speaking often through the trip. Still, Kieran's unwillingness to answer questions from a stranger meant nothing. A lot of guards are on the rise. Do you know everyone?
I know enough to find it suspicious that a new transfer is part of the team tasked to escort the maiden,
he stated.
He was personally requested by Hawk. Another relatively new transfer that somehow, in a matter of months, became one of the most important people in the entire kingdom's royal guard.
I sucked in a sharp breath.
What are you talking about? Hawk is another that no one knows hardly anything about. But he showed up, and now you're down not one, but two personal guards.
My mouth dropped.
I was there when both Rylan and Victor were killed. And I know it's not normal that several guards were passed over to become your guard in favor of a boy who's barely a man.
He cut me off.
I don't care what recommendations he came to Macedonia with, or whatever the commander said about him. Hawk requested Kieran, and here we are, in a keep where no ascended can be found.
What are you trying to say, Phillips?
I'm trying to say that this is a trap. We walked right out of the city with them and right into a goddamn trap.
Them?
I whispered.
Kieran,
he answered.
Hawk!
For a moment, all I could do was stare at him. I know you don't want to hear this. You and Hawk seem close. But I'm telling you, maiden, something is not right about this place or about them.
And what?
Evans and Warren are missing.
He referenced the two guards while looking back at the door. Neither Luddy nor I have seen them since about an hour after we got here. They went to their assigned rooms, and now they've disappeared. Their beds have not been touched, and there's been no sight of them anywhere in the keep.
That, if it was true, it was not good. But what he was suggesting was unbelievable. I didn't know Kieran, but I knew Hawk. And if Hawk trusted Kieran, then I did too. So what would Phillips have to gain by saying these things? My skin chilled when the only option formed in my mind. Phillips had to be a dissenter. Shocked, I didn't want to believe it. But I remembered how the dissenters at the right had been dressed for the celebration. They had been mingling with everyone the entire time. It wasn't impossible. Because nothing was. And if Phillips was a dissenter, then this was bad. He was exceptionally well trained. Worse yet, he knew that I was armed and trained as well. So I didn't have the element of surprise. I also didn't like the idea of being in this room alone with him, especially where I didn't know who was nearby. I needed to be around people.
Okay. You've been at Macedonia for a long time, and Victor, he always had nothing but good things to say about you, I told him. As far as I could remember, Victor had never mentioned Phillips at all, but I needed him to believe me. I opened my senses then.
What am I supposed to do?
Thank the gods you're smart. I was afraid I would have to drag you out of here.
He glanced at the door once more as his emotions filtered through me.
We need to get out of here, and fast.
And then what? It took a moment for me to make sense of what I felt. There was no remarkable pain, but I tasted the tang of fear.
Come.
He motioned me toward the door, hand still on the hilt of his sword. He cracked the slab open and checked outside, too quick for me to take advantage of him having his back turned to me.
It's clear.
His eyes met mine. I want to believe that you know I'm telling you the truth, but I'm not stupid. I know you're probably armed, and I know you can use it. So I want you to keep your hands where I can see them. I don't want to harm you, but I will incapacitate you if that means getting you out of this place and to somewhere safe.
Being threatened didn't exactly make me feel safe, but he was scared. He was frightened. I knew that much as he stepped aside. And I realized that he wanted me in front of him. My hand twitched to reach for the dagger. What was he afraid of? Getting caught?
Luddy and Bryant are waiting for us in the stables. They're readying the horses. I nodded, stepping out into the hall just as the door at the other end of the hall opened. Kieran walked out as cold air rippled down the corridor. Without my cloak, I wouldn't make it far. Did Phillips not realize that? Or was that not relevant?
Kieran came to a stop, his brows raised.
What are you doing out here?
Before I could answer, I heard Phillips unsheathe his sword. My heart started pounding.
What are you doing out here?
Phillips demanded.
It's not time to leave.
He started forward.
I was going to my room.
His gaze moved back to me. I didn't think he realized that Phillips had readied his sword.
And you didn't answer my question.
Phillips was behind me, and I knew I had to be careful. He may want to keep me alive, but I was just as effective as a messenger if I were dead. He'd have the sword in my back before I could get a grip on my dagger. I stared at Kieran silently, hoping to the gods that he was able to see what I couldn't say. He came forward, his hand casually going to the sword at his side.
What's going on here?
Phillips grabbed hold of my arm, tugging me back. He was fast as he thrust his sword forward. So was Kieran. He deflected the blow, but the deadly point of the blade was only knocked off course. Instead of penetrating his chest, it sliced into his stomach and leg. I cried out as Kieran stared down at himself. The sound that came from Kieran as he stumbled back raised every single hair in my body. I froze. It started out as a low rumble that was not even remotely a sound a mortal should make. I'd heard it before. The night Rylan had been killed in the Queen's Garden, the dissenter had made the same sound. The rumble rose, turning into a deep growl that stole my breath. When he lifted his head, my heart nearly stopped. His pale blue eyes, they glowed iridescent in the dim light.
You really shouldn't have done that.
The voice that came out of him was garbled and all wrong, as if his throat were full of gravel.
At all.
Kieran tossed his sword aside, and it clattered off the wooden floorboards. I couldn't understand why he'd throw down his weapon, but then I saw why. He'd changed. His skin seemed to thin and darken. His jaw popped up, elongating, along with his nose. Bones cracked and reformed as fawn-colored fur sprouted from every inch of skin I could see. The tunic he wore split across his chest. His breeches tore as his knees bent. He pitched forward, fingers growing, claws replacing nails. Ears lengthening as he opened his mouth in a cold, violent snarl. Fangs punched out from his jaw as his hands, his paws, smacked down on the floor. It took seconds, only seconds, and a man no longer stood before us. A huge creature stood on all fours, nearly as tall as Phillips, in a solid mass of muscle and sleek fur. What I saw was impossible. What I saw was something that had been extinct for centuries, killed off during the War of Two Kings. But I knew what Kieran was. Oh my gods. Kieran was a wolven.
Run,
Phillips shouted, grabbing hold of my arm. I didn't need to be told twice. Phillips was utterly wrong about Hawk, but he wasn't when it came to Kieran. There was obviously something incredibly not right about him. Kieran's claws scraped across wood as he lurched toward us, sweeping out and narrowly missing Phillips's cloak. I ran faster than I'd ever run in my entire life. I looked over my shoulder as Phillips yanked open the door. Every instinct inside screamed for me not to, but I couldn't stop myself. I looked. The wolven leapt, twisting in midair. He landed on the wall. Claws dug into the stone, and then he launched himself off, landing halfway in the hall.
Go!
Phillips tugged me into the stairwell in front of him. The space was dark with only the faintest light to lead the way. My boots slipped over the stone. I grabbed the railing as I swung onto the landing, near